Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, Holland, Zeeland. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Hey, Kerry, calling this morning from Naperville Rec League 4-year-old soccer.
Awesome, sir. Are you
Ben's first soccer game right here. So if you hear some crowds, we're up 1-0 right now.
Okay, are you the backup coach?
No, but our son Ben's the coach. these kids, it's just so funny. So here's some loud cheering, you know, but now we're up 2-0. So play by play. Here we go. Hey, today's game day at U of M Notre Dame. So that's a notable.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And hey, the Tigers bounced back from a big loss earlier this week to take Kansas City last night.
Yeah, like 16-4, something like that.
Yeah, 26 hits, so it was an awesome game. Hey, today's show, listeners, is tax planning if you're close to retirement. And when we say close to retirement, we would say at age 50, and as you get close to retirement, you need to really, you know, hone in on what you want to do, some changes that need to be made. And, you know, this is an ongoing process, Jack, as we get closer and closer to retirement. You need to adjust things. So there's some great things coming up on that. Also, we have our, you know, what goes kind of along with that is, can you afford to retire? Our workshop coming up here, and you save this date, September 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Hayworth and Conference Center. Call our office at 931-1223. That's 931-1223, extension 4. Leave a message for Janet or talk to Janet, and she will get you signed up and registered for Can You Afford to Retire workshop coming on September 26th.
Yeah, no, it's a real good workshop, and Kerry, all our listeners here who are pre-retirees should be attending workshops to begin the tax planning process, and we'll get into that later on the show. But as we start the show today, you know, we think about, you know, where we are in the world. You know, we could have a war going on any second if we get it approved. You know, it's kind of a, you know, I'm reading a book right now about Truman and, you know, the, you know, how ruthless in Russia was on our side in the last World War against Germany. And, you know, you have to take a look at what could happen. We're getting over there in the Middle East and Syria. You know, Iran says they're going to participate. Russia says they're going to participate. And it could be, you know, some serious stuff going on. You know, get a world war, and then there's Israel, and it could be some serious stuff coming upon us fairly quick. And, you know, we want a regime change, but we don't know what regime we want. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff that could affect what we talk about is the economy. And talk about the economy. Less jobs were created than we thought for in the jobs report this week. And, you know, I think there's plenty of jobs being created, just not enough jobs being created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I say plenty, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who I've stopped looking for employment, and there's other people who just don't want to work.
Oh, yeah, I agree, Jack. I read an article this week, too. Wall Street Journal basically was saying, too, they're, you know, unemployment numbers are down, but there's so many people that have fallen off the radar because, as you said, are not applying for jobs, have given up looking for work, or just don't want to work. And there's a huge number there that we don't have our arms around to know really what is out there.
No, we don't. And, you know, I always look for job postings. And, you know, when we're about the country, I look at the jobs. And, you know, I see a lot of job postings. I was at the chamber meeting with Zeeland this past week, Kerry. And Zeeland Lumber, for those listeners out there, indicated that they had probably 10 to 12 jobs opening for pickers of lumber, drivers. And so, you know, if you're looking for a job, go to Zeeland Lumber. I mean, just, you know, if you have some forklift licenses or CDL licenses or you know, you're interested in working Brazilian lumber, I'd be getting over there. You know, I'm always trying to pass on tips for people who are looking for employment.
Oh, yeah.
One, they said they emphatically were looking for people.
Well, and you remember here a couple of weeks ago when we had the seminar dealing with the Affordable Health Care Act, and, you know, Stacy at the insurance group said, too, you know, they're looking for people, but they want them to get licensed and in insurance, but there's another field that's going to be requiring more people to take care of all the healthcare changes that are coming.
Yep, no, absolutely. I mean, those are things that you know, people need to take a look at. And you hear the noise. There's a goal coming at me here pretty quick, and the other team just scored a goal. So
okay, 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah, but you know, it's one tip that I would offer people is, you know, get insurance license. Go to insurance company that is specializing in healthcare. Apply at Blue Cross Blue Shield. I know we're not talking about jobs, but we got, you know, we are talking about trying to get people full employment, and that field is just going to continue to mushroom. And you know, if you got a kid in college, encourage them to be a nurse practitioner. Of course, you got to be an RN first, or you know, be a PA. And if you want medicine, I think that field is going to open up tremendously with 30 more million people on the rolls. Or you know, hospitals are going to have to expand with clerks checking people in and emergency rooms. But you know, you got to have some skills though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we look at the market and the market barometer for this past week, you know, the month of August is really what we're reflecting on here today. We're into September now, but the month of August, you know, was a month where we've seen large, medium, and small cap companies. It was a tough month. It was down slightly. And when I say slightly, you know, 3 to 4% in that range. But then, you know, that's short term. If we look at year to date, or the past 12 months, 1 year, let's just look at year-to-date numbers, Jack. You know, those numbers are all showing north of still ahead 17% or greater. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we can get so wrapped up into the day-to-day, the month-to-month, when we have to look at the bigger picture. And when we look at investments, too, you cannot look at things one day or 1 month at a time. And so, you know, those year-to-date numbers, I mean, those are awesome numbers for 12 months.
No, it really is. I mean, it's awesome numbers. I'm happy with 18% for 3 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, for most of our customers, I'm happy with 6% per year.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am, and that's what people need to focus on. And, you know, because people ask me all the time, you know, about this, and, you know, what measuring stick are you using? Are you using a ruler when you need to be using a, you know, a 6-foot tape measure? You know, you need to have your horizon, you know, look at the horizon, not right in front of you for your investments. I mean, you always want to make sure you have good investments.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yep.
I understand that.
And, you know, sectors of the market, when we break down sectors, we have energy, materials, consumer staples, you know, things that we use every day, healthcare, as you mentioned, Jack. And, you know, for the month, everything was slightly down except for materials. But then year to date, all the sectors are showing positive, with the worst sector being telecom, up only 5.65%. But then you go out to areas like healthcare, they're up over 26%, and that's year to date. So again, 26%, that'd be a good number, Jack, for the last 5 years, probably.
Yeah, it would be. You know, it would be a good number. And, you know, people listening need to put their portfolio in perspective. You know, make sure they're well allocated, make sure they're hitting the sectors. But, you know, there's, you know, the healthcare sector is one that, you know, you want to get a broad view of. And, you know, there's a number of sector funds and exchange traded funds that can specialize just in healthcare, you know, be a broad variety of healthcare providers, meaning, you know, that provide not only the drugs, and people think healthcare, they think of drugs first, but also, you know, like Stryker, the devices. You know, and not promoting Stryker, but just indicating that's one company that has healthcare, you know, provided in terms of devices and knees and, you know, extra things that people need there. I mean, there's a lot of those companies that provide devices.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the healthcare, you have drugs and medicine, Pfizer, and then you can split that even into human healthcare and animal healthcare. So there's a lot of different sectors within the healthcare industry. So, hey, listeners, Chris has given me the signal to take a short break here. We're going to be right back with more of Money Matters and By the Numbers here, and then on to our show of tax planning if you are close to retirement. So you're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners, to this beautiful Saturday morning, beautiful week that we've had. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Continue to go over the markets, Kerry, as you mentioned. If you look at the past month, pretty much across the board, except for small cap growth, is down 2.5% to 3%. If you take a look at the 3 months, we're still up basically over 2 to 3%. That's for the three-month numbers. Even small-cap growth is up 7 for a three-month period. So, you know, it's just one of those where you have to maintain your portfolio, maintain your risk. If you look at bonds, you know, sometimes, you know, people forget that bonds are a pretty nice place to be, but it all depends on what bonds you're in and what your strategy is in.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at, you know, long bonds have been hurt the most. And if you look at year-to-date, long, high-quality bonds are down 7. And if you take a look at midterm bonds, you know, maybe 10 to 15-year bonds, they're down 9. And if you look at high-quality bonds or low-quality bonds, they're down or just even year-to-date. So,
yeah, and even
you know,
if
I mean, the people got hurt the most are the long-term bonds, 30-year bonds, that were paying 3 to 4%.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, then we look at, like we did on stocks, if you look at a three-year number on bonds, you're still looking at, you know, 2 to 12%, which is a good number on bonds. And remember, bonds are there to maintain your principal and clip interest and coupons. It's if you need income, good place to be. You need to understand that there's always going to be a little fluctuation with that. So, you know, it's one of those things. The market's doing its normal things. You have areas that are up and areas that are always going to be down, and that's why it's so important to diversify and have money in the different areas and different sectors of the market. Hey, and listeners, hey, 395-1450, lines are open here for calls. We'll take your calls with questions you have. Let's talk a little bit by the numbers, Jack.
Yeah, by the numbers. This is real estate. The average single-family home nationwide peaked June 30th of 07. Dropped 21% from that point, but has recovered by June 30th of this year and is now down just 11%.
Yeah, so
at all-time high.
So real estate's up, but it's still, you know, there's still good value out there.
Still good value, but then you look at the higher-end homes, they, you know, went down a lot, but they're probably back up a little bit higher than what they went down.
Mm-hmm.
Worst part, I was looking at the Wall Street Journal this morning. Worst markets continue to be Las Vegas, Atlanta, of course, Detroit is one of them. Those are some of the bigger markets. Florida, some of the markets there have not even close to being recovered. You know, so you really got to figure out what area you're talking about here. And, you know, our daughter in Rochester Hills, they're trying to find property right now, and they just can't find property.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't find property.
Yeah, yeah. Property can be tough in popular areas or, you know, high demand areas. You know, if we look at the S&P 500, which is a measuring stick, a broad range of the market here, you know, is up 16.2% year to date as of the end of August. And if you look at the last 50-year return for the stock index, its average annual gain is 9.8% a year. And its market valuated index, so, you know, again, we're way ahead of the market average. So people say, hey, I'm down for the month. Yeah, but you're still up for the year. So great return numbers on the S&P 500.
Yep, here's another one. Dealing with the credit, you know, that we're going to bump up against our credit, you know, being over our debt limit right now. Our nation's credit card limit was reinstated on Sunday. This is May 19th, and an amount equal to our outstanding debt, which is about $17 trillion. only through creative accounting has the government been able to delay this debate until August 26th, which is, I'm not sure, August 26th, until mid-October. So, you know, we got 5 full months of being with creative accounting. That means they're pulling stuff forward, delaying some stuff. But right now, the government thinks, this is as a report of May of 13, that the projected debt by 23 is going to be $25 trillion. $25
trillion. Wow.
That is amazing.
That is.
$25 trillion.
Hey.
So, you know, we're not solving that issue. We continue to run up the debt and not address it. I mean, you know, it's just, I just can't imagine why we're not addressing this, you know. And we talked about this last week on the radio show. You know, if you're losing your house and we're losing this country to debt, why aren't you focusing on this debt every day of your life as a congressman and a senator?
Mm-hmm.
Every day you should be working on the budget.
Yeah, and what it boils down to, we keep kicking the can down the road, and I don't think anybody wants to come and deal with it. And that's going to be a hard one to deal with, but we need to do it. How about this? Always as we get into the last part of the year, there's always talk, there's always articles. Hey, last part of the year can perform pretty good. Well, here's some actual numbers on how the market, you know, the month of August produces a loss of 2.9% for the S&P 500, only its second down month this year. And over the last 250 months, the split is 65% up, 35% down for the S&P 500. Now, let's talk about the fast finish that everybody talks about, the end of the year. You know, the last 4 months of the calendar year, September through December, have outperformed the first 8 months of the year, which is January through August, in 2 of the last 3 years, okay? Now, let's look over the last 25 years. The split is almost even. So the last 4 months won 12 times. The first 8 months won 13 times. So it's really, you know, people always talk the last part of the year is always so strong. History tells us it's a pretty even break.
Here, we need to break off and go to the soccer game right now. Our grandson, Logan, has had 2 breakaways for goals in the last 5 minutes.
Awesome. So score, the score is?
Oh, it's like 5-2 we're ahead.
All right. Hey.
Two breakaways from the pack. Okay, here's another interesting one. This is an estimated 9,200 Americans are turning 65 each day this year. And I've been saying 10,000, so it's 9,200. By the year 2029, 11,400 people will be turning 65 each day.
Wow.
Amazing opportunity. And, you know, we want to go back to our workshop that we're going to have here coming up pretty quick, Carrie. And you have to provide the date because I can't find it in my paperwork right here. But that is why you need to make sure that you attend this workshop. September 26th is people are turning and retiring. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing to people, I have a meeting Monday night where I'm going to provide to them 6 different scenarios on retirement. And if they wait until 65, 66, they have no problem with retirement. But if they retire at 62, the potential to run out of money is about 82.
Wow.
And this is so, you know, scenarios of 62, you know, she stops work at 60, retires, and takes Social Security at 62. They both retire at 62 and take Social Security. They both retire and take Social Security at 66. Or 65, and then wait till 66. All types of scenarios, which took Janet and myself maybe about 20 minutes to create all these scenarios. And this is what we offer people as a scenario on what is the potential. And we're only using 6% growth average, 6% growth average, which some people think might be a little high if you look at this year. And that's when we go back and saying, you know, year-to-date, people are up 18%. Well, that's, I'm happy with that we're 3 years, but the modeling that we use and the people that, you know, need to come to this workshop better start figuring it out because you don't want to run out of money early.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to run out of money.
Well, and for that, you know, listeners, the workshop is September 26th, as Jack mentioned, 6 to 8, Hayworth Inn and Conference Center, and you have to call our office to make reservations for the workshop to reserve your spot. The number at the office is 931-1223 extension 4, and leave a message for Janet. That's 931 12:23. And Jack, we need to take a short break. You can give us an update on the game when you get back, and we'll be on to our show of tax planning if you're close to retirement. Listen to WHTC Money Matters.
I don't think we need the open of the show again, do you, Gary?
I don't think so either. Hey, listeners, welcome back to WHCC Money Matters. So we'll give Chris a break, won't we, Jack?
Oh, yeah. We'll give him a free pass, and I don't give him any free passes. You know that.
No, I think he still owes you donuts, doesn't he?
Oh, geez, here we go.
He does, yeah.
That's for a lifetime, I believe.
Lifetime worth of donuts. You know, I went and visited Chris in his other job the other day, and I didn't get a donut.
You know, we had a big pile of donuts and popcorn in the back. I don't know how you didn't see that.
You know, I can usually smell the popcorn now. We're talking today, listeners, with tax planning for clients near retirement. And, you know, near retirement means a lot of different things for certain people. And it doesn't mean the month before you turn 62 or 65 or 66. It means 5 or 6 years of tax planning for your retirement. And one glaring thing that people don't understand here is they think they're going to be in a very low tax bracket for all of their life. All of their life. They just forget that. And when I do financial plans, I look at things, and just the one that I was just talking about is when they turn like 72, 73, they're going to be in the 25% tax bracket because of RMDs, required minimum distributions. And if you don't run these modeling tools, you're going to say, oh, my heavens, I have to take this much out of my 401k or IRAs or Roth. Their RMDs, they forget about this, and the people I'm dealing with have nothing in Roth. They're new customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, we need to start piling money into Roth because you're going to have a tax issue unless you tax plan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's, you know, strategies there too. If you have a large IRA, before you hit that 70, when you have to have RMDs, does it make sense to start converting some of that money each year? And it's so important to look at that. And that's one thing we're looking at with a number of clients right now as we look ahead to planning for retirement, planning for their RMDs, and to reduce what they have to take out. But you're absolutely right, Jack. I mean, we tell clients all the time that don't expect to be in the lower tax bracket. Expect to be in the same tax bracket, because if you want to maintain your standard of living, what you were before in going into retirement, you're going to be in the same tax bracket.
No, that's exactly what people just don't understand. And but you know, we're trying to educate customers today on tax planning, and in pre-retirees need to be doing this type of work. And we're talking about using your budget. We're talking about using, you know, your numbers. We're talking about using your 401ks, the money you put in, and then we look out. You know, the average death for a guy is 83, a woman's 87. You know, if we think we have a long history, we extend it out. And it's just this modeling is so important that you perform this, because how do you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. So, you know, as we go down through these line items that we've got printed before us, Kerry, is maxing out your retirement in the right buckets. Are you putting enough money away? You know, try to max these out if you possibly can. You know, max out your 401k, max out your Roth IRA, max out your deferred comp. Do it for both husband and wife. I mean, these are some things that, you know, you need to be looking at. Why aren't you maxing it out? Well, we take a lot of vacation. Well, that's fine. You know, I'm not against vacations. I like to take a lot of vacations. But you still need to put your priorities before you retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, if your employer has a 401k or another type of retirement plan and they match, you need to go in and at least put in the match to get the free money. And Jack, as you mentioned, it could make some good sense to maximize it out. Like, you know, put the maximum you can. Even though you don't get matching on all of it, it may make sense to maximize that. And then, you know, look at putting money into a Roth IRA on top of that, if it fits, if it works, if you can.
And Kerry, you'd be surprised the number of people who still don't understand that one spouse is retired, one spouse is working. And I go, why aren't you putting in the other spouses and maxing out their Roth? I thought they had to work. I go, no, as long as one person is making a dollar, you can put 50% in the spouse who's not working Roth, and you can put 50% in yours, or just put a dollar in your spouse's. If one person has W-2 income, one person, the other spouse can benefit by that, by maxing and putting in, if they're over 50, like you're going to be this year, Carrie, you can put $6,500 in your Roth.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
I keep reminding people that you're going to be 50 this year.
I know, that's coming up close. So is there a surprise party coming up that I should know about?
Well, I imagine listeners will be bringing in popcorn and donuts or something. Or that'll just be Chris.
Oh, yeah, and some donuts maybe from Chris. Yeah. So he's
but that's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yep. Hey, and then, you know, as you think of tax planning, as you're getting your retirement, let's talk about something that gets missed a lot, the health savings accounts. You know, I look at those type of retirement plans that are both for health care and can be money available for other expenses in retirement, too, if you don't use it all now. And I think a lot of people don't take advantage of these HSAs that are out there.
Nope, and there's more and more. You know, I've talked to three people this week that were talking about their plans offer HSAs, and I go, I hope you're taking it. They go, well, I don't know much about HSAs. And so, you know, you need to be talking to us. You need to be talking to your insurance person. You need to be talking to your human resource person about the tax advantages of doing an HSA, how they work. And they work out very nice because you can carry this forward every year and add, keep on adding to this plan. And then when you retire, you can use this as part of your deductibles that you're going to have with Medicare. And there's so many people, Carrie, that don't understand the deductibles that you're going to have to pay that once you're on Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
because
you could be using your HSA that you've grown through the time you're working and use that for retirement. But you have to plan this type stuff.
Yep. And what's nice about it is you're not paying tax on this money, and you can use it as long as you use it for health care. You're not going to pay tax, and that's a huge benefit.
It is, and, you know, HSA comes right off the top, right off the top. I mean, it's a very nice deductible off your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the deductibles are a little bit higher. I have to acknowledge that, but the premiums you're going to pay are that much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So if it fits your family and you have to be educated, and still my wife's employer did not know, and she works for a larger organization, did not know that you can invest your HSA in the mutual fund. They did not know that. And so, you know, I'm not even their provider of health care. I'm not their provider of the retirement. But I had to go into that organization and explain to them, whoever's bringing this to you did not fully understand what they sold them.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I'm not even the provider.
Well, they sold them a good idea. They just didn't have the full knowledge behind it of what people can do with the money in the HSA.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you need to tax plan your money. You need to tax plan your health care. And we think that the average person who retires at 66 during their lifetime, which is going to be 20 years, can probably pay out of pocket $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a large amount of money that you need to plan for.
Yes. Yep.
And forecast.
How about, Jack, we've run into this to a lot in the past number of years, is that people that still have mortgages out there that are a higher interest rate, with interest rates on 30-year mortgages, 15-year mortgages being at 60-year lows. I mean, even though they've crept up a little bit, they're still, like my dad said, my dad's, 76 this year. He's never seen interest rates this low. And so one option out there as you prepare for, you know, retirement, does it make sense to refinance your mortgage? The interest is tax deductible. You know, instead of borrowing, can use some of this maybe to buy a car, because if you have a car loan, it's not deductible, where a home loan is. You could do home improvements. Sometimes people use some of it for vacation, you know, but make sure it's worth it. But the big thing there is look at what you're currently paying in interest rate now, and what it is compared to or what you could get. You could shave some years off. You could lower your rate of interest and save on interest over the 15-year period of time or whatever that period of time for refinancing. So it's something that at least you need to check.
And, Kerry, you know, we've been in situations, at least myself, I can't speak for you, but situations where I've actually begun to talk about people whose spouses died, who they've been divorced, and they're carrying the mortgage. And the situation is we've been able to refinance them, and because of the situation they're in, we've refinanced to longer years, and they've saved money. Now, how does that work? You refinance for longer years, your payment's less, and you've saved money because it fits what they have to do with their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not telling everybody it's the panacea to reduce the number of years. If you're in the situation where, again, you're a divorcee, a spouse has died, you can't afford the mortgage, you know, I've been able to help them reduce their percentages they're paying and extend the years and save them money.
And keep a roof over their head. Exactly.
And keep a roof over their head that meets their budget. So everybody's different. Not everybody has a pile of money. You know, we're trying to help everybody understand what they should be doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. So, you know, it's just important that you understand where you are with your budget and where you are with making money and when you can retire.
Hey, listeners, we're going to take a short break. The lines are open, 395-1450, with any of your retirement questions. Jack and I will be right back. Hey, welcome back, listeners. WATC Money Matters, the number here, 395-1450. We're taking your calls. And, Jack, hey, we need to touch on our Social Security question of the week, which we did not touch on a little earlier, but that's okay. We can always mix up the order, can't we?
Yep, you sure can.
All right, here is the question. Are my Social Security benefits taxable?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
maybe is always the answer, and that's one thing that people forget about too is you know, Social Security benefits being taxable. And if you hit a certain level, and I don't have that level in front of me right here, whether you be single or filing jointly, they will be taxable.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, you know, most of the time they're not, but for those retirees that have substantial income on top of their monthly Social Security, up to 85% of their benefits, Jack, as you mentioned, can be taxable. So, you know, approximately 35%, here's a statistic, of Americans that collect monthly Social Security benefits have to pay income taxes on their benefits because of additional income from work, pensions, or investment exceeds the limit. So, you know, the answer is maybe. It depends on the unique circumstance of each individual that is out there. So that's our Social Security. I can't talk this morning, Jack. Social Security question of the weekend. What's update on the score?
Update is 8-6. We're still up.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's a high scoring game.
Yeah, it's a high scoring game. No, it's so doggone funny. You know, just have a good time watching the game. Here's another question, Kerry, that we forgot. I received an invitation to a college funding event. We get dinner. I just wonder if you recommend going to an event like this. I'm assuming they're trying to sell me something, but I think they may have some information that you can use. And I go, yeah, you know, I think if you go to these events, you must understand that you're going to get some good information, and I tell people that. But I've had some people that really have scared me because they went to these events, and then these people come out and say what they want them to do, take an extra mortgage out on their house, take loans out, cash in their 401ks. And I go, geez, I don't really recommend any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing that you're going to get some good information, but unless you filter through what's good and what's bad, you could be taking yourself and your spouse down a wrong path. And I really caution people. So Amy at our office went to one of these. She went and she learned an awful lot, but then they wanted her to do stuff. She said, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One, Amy even said that, or I have a client that knows somebody that did all this stuff, and now over the last couple of years they lost their house because of what they did for college planning. And I'm not saying that's what happens to everybody. It's just some of it was circumstances behind the situation, but you have to be careful of what you do.
Yes, you really do. And, you know, with anything, you need to, you know, look at what it is. Does it fit you? And that's it. You know, that's just really important. And, you know, so do we recommend it? I recommend going if you can filter the information out, but you must be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You must be careful. And, you know, planning for college is like anything. You plan as soon as that kid's born. And, you know, the parents put money away, the grandparents put money away, you use birthday money and Christmas money and all kinds of good stuff to save for college. And, Kerry, for the number of people, you know, we've helped save for college and not have much debt, it's been tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But other people we get as new customers, they have kids, they're 16 or 17, and they have no money saved.
Hey, Jack, as I look through the other questions that have been written in, we need to touch on this question briefly because I think it fits into the last part of our tax planning. Here's a listener that writes in, I earn too much money to contribute to a Roth IRA. So they can't have a Roth IRA, but I do contribute to an after-tax traditional IRA. Can I convert the traditional IRA to Roth? Do I have to pay taxes on the conversion? Well, yes, you can convert it. And if you have earnings, yes, you have to pay tax on the conversion, plain and simple.
Yep, you got to do that, but there's also a strategy that's most important that you and I employ, Kerry, is the fact that put it in a traditional IRA, don't invest it. You know, for my case, in your case this year, we put $6,500 in a non-taxable IRA, and as soon as it's there in cash, we convert it to the Roth.
Absolutely.
And now there's some caveats here, because the caveats say this. If you have other IRAs, that's one thing. You can convert it immediately, but you have to proportionally take your other IRAs and pay the tax on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's some caveats, but for those people who have no other IRAs out there, it's non-taxable. But, you know, you always have to look at the taxable situation. So, you know, each one of these are important.
Listeners, we're talking tax planning for near retirement. We've talked about maximizing your 401k. Does that make sense? Another thought is health savings account. Do you have a health savings account available through your employer? Refinancing your mortgage, does it make sense? You know, for some people it may, for others it may not. Here's the one that, you know, people never like to lose money, but sometimes it may make good sense to sell investments with losses because you can take right off the loss on your tax return. And
oh, Kerry, this is a prime year when you reallocate your portfolio, because believe it or not, there's still a number of situations where people have lost money, and this is a perfect year to take some profits, reallocate your portfolio, take losses with profits, and owe no taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a perfect thing for people to do, but you have to have somebody help you. You have to understand your cost basis. And, you know, get rid of some of those dogs in your portfolio. I mean, there's some things that aren't coming back.
Yeah. And or it's going to be a while before they come back. And then on the flip side of that, you know, it may be good to take some gains on some of the investments, but you need to wait at least 1 year. I mean, you don't have to, but it's advisable from a tax standpoint to wait at least 1 year before you sell, because then you pay a long-term capital gains tax instead of a short-term. And the long-term...
Yep.
is lower than the short term. So there's strategies there that you have to think about. Does it make sense to wait for that full year? And if it's a huge tax savings and the stock drops a little bit, that tax savings can offset that.
Nope. You know, Kerry, we both help people plan their stock options that they have for companies. And one of the things that's so important is we try to make sure that people buy the stock in their option, keep it for a year, and then, you know, get long-term capital gains. Lots of people will do their options, and they'll buy it and sell to get the options automatically. And that is just the wrong thing to do. Now, if you can't afford it, there's something else to do. But we're always trying to manage taxes going forward, taxes today.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, long-term charitable giving. You know, one of the things that more and more people are doing nowadays are, you know, doing what's called a donor advised fund, where it's a fund set up to money goes out of that strictly to charitable organizations. We've talked about this year a little bit. If you have to take an RMD, and I know this is it when you're older, but But taking an RMD, you can gift that to a charitable organization yet this year and not pay tax on the money that comes out of the IRA. And
absolutely.
And the charitable organization gets the full benefit of the gift. So, you know, long-term charitable giving can be planned now through setting up donor-advised funds, you know, gifting stock to your church instead of selling the stock yourself and paying the capital gains. That's something that we, Kim and I, do often. Other, we have other clients that do it often. A gift of highly appreciated stock is a great way to go. So, listeners, wow, we're at the end of our show already, Jack. And enjoy your game over there. And Logan, right?
Yeah, Logan and I were going to Karina's birthday party, so it's right to the next grandchild. So
awesome.
Everybody have a great weekend.
You're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey. Have a great weekend.